Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. Hello and welcome to ID the Future podcast. This is Annika Smith reporting from the CSC in Seattle, and today we're joined by Craig Smith of Shepherd Project Ministries. Craig, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure, my pleasure.
We're intrigued by some internet sabotage your organization's website has suffered from hackers online, which we'll get into that in a moment. It's sort of the stuff you think of in movies, really. But first, can you tell us just a bit about your organization?
Sure. Shepherd Project Ministries is a relatively new organization. We've only been around for a few years, but our goal is to equip people of Christian faith to understand what we call significant intersections of faith and culture. In other words, places in contemporary culture where Christian faith and modern culture are rubbing up against each other, and helping Christians understand what's going on there as an opportunity to make inroads into the culture.
Very cool. Well, let's talk real briefly about, there's a conference coming up in Colorado that your organization is backing and behind, and it features some key intelligent design thinkers. Is that correct?
It does, yeah. It's the Legacy of Darwin Intelligent Design Conference that's going to be taking place here October 31st, featuring speakers from the Discovery Institute primarily, although a couple of others, but a team from Discovery Institute, John West, David Berlinski, Michael Behe.
Very cool. Very good lineup. What happened 3 weeks ago to the pages on your website that talked about the conference and had information?
Well, 3 weeks ago, somebody managed to break in. Our web host thinks they used a root force hacking program, basically a program that just tried every possible combination of symbols until they eventually managed to kind of by brute force break through the password. Once they got in, they started deleting pages related specifically to the ID conference, which allows us to be pretty confident that's what they were targeting, because we have hundreds of other pages that weren't touched, but they went directly to the ID conference pages and started deleting them. Fortunately, we found that out fairly quickly, and were able to change our security protocols and keep that from happening. So they haven't been able to get into the site since then, but been having other issues since then.
This is that's a really brazen move for someone to make, to actually go into your website and delete your pages just about this conference. That's dedication, and that's a precision move. I mean, they weren't targeting anything else, you said? That was the only thing they did?
The only other thing they touched, they did touch the index page of our main site, which had the main link into the ID conference site. Mm-hmm. So they just kind of wiped all the code for that. So no questions whatsoever about what they were targeting. Yeah, I mean, it was brazen. We've been monitoring the sort of the language that we see discussing the conference on various blogs throughout the country. And we've seen a fair amount of hostile language. Mm-hmm. But honestly, we just sort of expected that it was cyber flaming. People are very brave in cyberspace and on email. We did not anticipate any kind of an actual attack, but we were proven wrong on that one.
Wow. What sort of effort would that require to target and get in there? You said it was a brute force program. Is this something pretty easy to do, or does it take some special expertise?
Well, I'm reasonably savvy when it comes to web programming and things like that, and I will tell you this, I would have no idea how to even proceed. So I don't think it's a casual piece of knowledge. I mean, it would have required either somebody who was already familiar with the techniques and has been making a practice of this beforehand, or somebody that was dedicated to a crash course in computer hacking to be able to do it. But it's not the kind of thing that the average person would know how to do.
Is there any way to track the people? I mean, I assume, could there be legal consequences for them? I mean, this is really an internet crime of sorts, isn't it?
Right. No, it actually is. It's actionable legally if we can find out who did it, and that's obviously the tricky part. Hmm. Probably the first attack in terms of erasing our web pages will not be able to be prosecuted simply because they did manage, using this root force program, they managed to obtain my password. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you look at the site, it looks like I did it, you know, because there's a login request from me. It just happens to be a day that I wasn't even around. and certainly wasn't doing this, certainly wasn't deleting my own pages, but from the web logs, you know, it looks like me, so that one's probably not going to be actionable. However, in this one, we're kind of waiting to see, since that time, since we blocked people from getting into the site, we basically created a password that's so large that, you know, it would take a brute force program months to be able to hack through it. Since then, we've experienced distributed denial of service attacks, DDoS attacks, where, and this requires more than one individual, we're almost certain, they basically overwhelmed the web servers or site with requests for data. And then essentially what happens is as soon as the server begins to give the data, the program stops asking for that piece of data and asks for a new piece of data. So it's constantly causing the server to sort of switch gears and provide new data. And that's apparently coming in from multiple sources. And it's just overwhelming the server, which is why for the last probably 2 hours, the site has been very sluggish. They did actually crash the site last week completely for about 24 hours. And since then, it's been sort of an exercise in patient readiness. This is not just our site. This is all of the sites hosted by this company, which is a very large, very well-known company. And they did confirm yesterday that this is not a problem with servers. It's a denial of service. This is actionable because it's requiring, you know, outside links into the servers to make these data requests. And that they are tracking and looking to follow up on. I don't know where they are in that progress. It's, you know, it's out of our office, but potentially this is the kind of thing we'll be able to prosecute.
Wow, that's persistence and dedication on the part of the hackers. It's kind of overwhelming in a sense that people are so devoted to shutting down access to information. Just about a conference that you're hosting open to the public. Am I right in saying
right.
that? And they're just shutting down access to this information. That's a key step in censoring and banning an idea, whether it's officially or it's, you know, we think of censorship coming from more official arms of the government or something like that. But
right.
even amateur hacking and trying to bully you, basically, into being silenced, it's still very serious. Tell us, is the Shepherd Project, are you guys intimidated by this attack at all?
No, not particularly. I guess there's a part of us that feels like, well, we must be doing something significant to
yeah.
warrant this kind of attention. And that's always sort of fun. But, you know, we do make a living basically out of exploring these intersections of faith and culture. And so we're reasonably used to a certain level of hostility and animosity. This one has taken us a bit by surprise, though. Quite honestly, we had not expected the level of animosity and certainly had not expected the level of dedication. I mean, this is not even just a matter of some individual being dedicated to doing
right.
that. This is a distributed denial of service. It requires multiple people.
There's coordination involved, yeah.
There's coordination involved, and so that's been surprising. We've, as I said earlier, we watched the websites where we've caught mention of the conference, and there are a number of sort of atheistic websites out there that have been very hostile about the conference. And the language was surprising to me. You know, they've called our speakers maggots and all kinds of very interesting kind of language, but it's stunning to me how threatened they seem to be about the conversation even taking place. You know, it's not a matter of I disagree with the content or I disagree with the conclusions. It's I disagree that the conversation should be allowed.
Right.
And that is surprising to us.
You know, it shows the, if not the poverty of thought on the other side, at least the lack of faith in their own ability to hold forth against an idea with
sure.
which they disagree, which is really illuminating.
Well, and you know, this is sort of related to on that same note, I guess. We sent out postcards to every science teacher in the Front Range of Colorado and offered them a free ticket to this conference just because we said, you may not agree with the ideological stance of Shepherd Project Ministries, but this is not going to be a religious conference. We've invited speakers in to speak on scientific issues, and we feel like you ought to be aware of the issues. And so we sent out those, and we've had quite a few registrations by teachers that are thrilled to be able to have the opportunity to interact with this material. But I had an email interchange with one individual who was just so angry. He was angry that he got the card. He was angry that we had bothered to invite him. And you know, he wrote immediately to say, you know, take me off this list. And he said something kind of interesting, and I wrote back to him, and his sentence essentially said, you know, if you think that I'm even going to think about talking about intelligent design in the class, you know, you're barking up the wrong tree. And so I wrote back and I said, well, you know, I'm sorry we've offended you, but can I ask you, when you say that you're not even willing to think about it, does that indicate that you're unwilling to consider any possible evidence that might be contrary to what you already believe? Mm-hmm. Because that's surprising to me. I mean, that doesn't sound like good science. And he did write back and he said, you know, now that I think about it, that really was very hostile language and I'm sorry. I'm not sure why I reacted so strongly.
Wow.
I thought, well, that's quite telling, actually. I mean, there's an initial reaction of hostility. And, you know, in this individual's credit, you know, he recognized it and was surprised that he had it himself.
Right.
But that initial hostility, we've just seen far more of than we expected here. I expected that those that didn't agree would simply ignore the conference, but so far that's not been the case.
You're not lucky enough to be ignored. You're stirring up too much trouble.
Well, yeah. Again, don't necessarily mind that. I'd rather not be ignored, so.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much, Craig, for joining us. And
sure.
We look forward to hearing more about the conference and more about your efforts with Shepherd Project. And we wish you the best of luck. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you. My pleasure.
For ID of the Future, this is Annika Smith with the CSC in Seattle signing off.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.